Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which relates stories and miracles in a view of universal life force energy, which sustains our physical and spiritual realms and allows us to remember connections to our multidimensional being. Today, I am delighted to welcome Dr. Artie Clark, author of Sky People, Untold Stories of Alien Encounters in Mesoamerica, and her newest book, More Encounters with Star People. In listening to many accounts of people in the course of producing these shows, I have found that just because we may at times choose to see certain realities doesn't mean that other realities and life forms don't exist. Sometimes it is simply in knowing all is possible if we can simply conceive of it and move past fear to greater truth, wisdom, and with courage and an open mind, which are great virtues for learning and for our personal growth. Hello, Dr. Clark. Thank you for joining me.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Artie, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I seek answers to age-old questions, such as who are we, where did life originate, why are we having a physical life experience, and does life exist in other dimensions of energy, in other places in the universe? I feel that in learning more about ourselves, we learn about our human condition, the course of evolution, how to support the planet and its population, and how to look beyond this world to possible life elsewhere. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Dr. Artie Clark from Montana State University and former director of the Center for Bilingual and Multicultural Education is well known for her lifelong focus on Native American tribes and on the indigenous populations of Central America. And in her book, Sky People, she shared a journey through 12,000 miles and Mexico. She describes real-life accounts and ancient stories of UFOs, sky gods, and other observations of beings from other planets, which the villages considered to be their ancestors. And we will also talk today about her newest book, More Encounters with Star People. Artie, I often like to ask each guest to think back to their childhood, to an early recollection, person, or event which may have shown them or others in their life a predisposition or life path that still interests them and is still valuable to them and connected to the work and lifestyle that are important to you now. So think back for a minute.
Well, I grew up hearing the stories of the star people, and it was somewhat common, you know, to hear elders speak of connections with the stars. When I was 7 years old, I had my own encounter that so far I don't want to talk about. But obviously, those events and those stories were a part of me and a part of my growing up. Up at the time I got to high school and graduated from college, you know, one of the things that we do is we kind of put away the stories of our childhood and we go on with life and we get jobs and we start a family. And that's what happened to me. When I was hired at Montana State University as an assistant professor and director of the Center for Bilingual Multicultural Education, one of my jobs was to develop the center, because it was a brand new center, was to go out into the Montana and the surrounding states and visit the Indian reservations and to recruit students to come to Montana State and offer them scholarships and help them become teachers, principals, and superintendents of reservation schools. At the time I came here, there were you could count the number of Native teachers and principals on your hands. Mm-hmm. Throughout the whole area. They weren't any Native people in the teaching profession. And on my first trip out to a reservation, I met a man who helped me set up the interviews. We went to dinner, and on our way back, he said to me, you know, if you've got a few minutes, I'd like to show you something. And he took me up in the mountains above his village, and there he said, now, if we're lucky, they'll come. And I said, well, who will come? And he said, well, the star people, the ancestors. And so we went out and we sat on this boulder in the dark, waiting for the star people to come. And in the meantime, he was telling me the stories of his people, of the cosmos, of the star people. So on my way back to Bozeman, I kept thinking about how many other tribes have stories to tell about the cosmos, the universe, the star people. And I knew that my people did. I knew that his people did. And so as I would go about and recruit students and spend time on the reservations, talking with elders and what their dreams were for their kids, I often was in casual situations where I could say, you know, do you have any stories, ancient stories about star people? Or about the universe, or about the stars. And many of the stories fell into a category of myths, stories that were told to explain things in the universe, how the Milky Way came to be, why the sun rises and sets, why the moon comes up, how the mountains were formed, all these kinds of things. But then there were another group of stories that were referred to as legends, and these were the stories, the history, the events that occurred during the existence of the tribe. And those stories took on a different form. They were stories that dealt with experiences of abductions or someone coming down and taking a male to live with him, some female entity, experiences of individuals making a relative major change in maybe in the environment, in a number of different kinds of situations. And so I was collecting those stories because I thought they were so fascinating. And
well, they were factual. They were being documented,
were actual, right?
Just like on the caves in ancient history, the stories were being recorded, and it was a process of understanding where we were and where we are now, which has a scientific, in a way, basis for it. I mean, people want answers, and they want to see everything, but everything's been handed down from one family to another or one culture to another over the course
that's
of
right.
history. So that's what this is. But let's go on to something about the Mayan myths or stories about, we call them sky people or sky gods or star people. They're all the same, correct?
Right.
All right. And from your first book, you told something of the Mayan myths and stories, how they came often on beams of light. And there were different
right.
kinds of beings, giants, little people, spirits, different kinds of sky travelers. So tell us something about Vine Deloria, who was a noted American Indian author who wrote something about this.
Well, Vine Deloria, you know, he believed that what happened in the course of history, as progress was made and the Industrial Revolution occurred, that all people had ancient stories, whether they were native or indigenous or whatever. But he believed that as progress was made and science increased and improved and took over basically the direction of human life, that those stories were discounted and relegated to the level of fantasy or folklore, and therefore they were forgotten. But those groups, such as Native Americans, the indigenous populations of the world, basically, were people that were so isolated from the mainstream societies and from science, and that they maintained their stories, while there were other people who were so enthralled by progress and science, they forgot their stories. They, you know, after a generation or two, those stories were gone. But with the native people, the indigenous people of the world, they maintain their stories, and that's why there is such a strong connection there.
Absolutely. And, wonderful, because they maintained their connection to intuition and universal spirit and to downloading the information of the universe, either through these star people or through some of the people might call it a religious way to download souls or spirit or angels or God himself. I mean, whether it's coming from people who might be considered aliens or it's coming from sources that are spiritual doesn't really matter too much. It's information that's coming through from a different form of energy life. So let's go on to... Now, you have many fascinating stories. I've read your books. And there is a story of Stephen, who was the cousin of Serena, whose grandfather had told her about encounters with people, aliens that walk backwards, and who had encountered many UFO events for over 40 years. And Stephen was abducted, and his story was very interesting to me. Could you tell us something, and tell our audience something, about the fact that he told about experiments while being aboard, and also a twin or clone of himself? And I think we get an insight into how these aliens think, how they're similar to us in some ways and different emotionally than humans. And I found that very detailed and very, very accurate in many of the shows that I've done with other people who have had experiences. So can you tell us something about the story of Stephen?
Yes. You know, all three of my books have stories about people being cloned. You know, I have there's a story in my first book and one in my second book and one in my third book. In my third book, you know, the cloning took place where he called them his brothers, and all three of them, there were three that, clones, and he would constantly meet with them throughout childhood and play with them, and they would learn to live as humans, and he continued to meet with them throughout adulthood. In the case of Stephen, of course, you know, had a clone. He even at one point came to Earth and replaced Stephen, and Stephen replaced him. I mean, it was a really interesting situation that, and when he graduated from school, the aliens left him to his own devices and said they would not be returning because they had learned all they needed to learn. You know, it's an amazing thought that, you know, if you have clones out there that can be disguised as humans or look as humans, they will certainly fit into American society, and it seems as though many of them are
doing that. They may be doing that already.
Well, that's what I said. You know, what I was going to say is that they're probably here already.
I would think so. But you know what? I have had someone else on the show. I can't remember at the moment who. But she told me that after one of her alien abductions as a child, she was also visited over years, and there was a piece of her, like a hole, a little hole in her back, where it seemed a piece of tissue had been taken. So I would imagine that's how they would do something like cloning with the DNA and as advanced entities.
And, well, you know, in more encounters with star people, there's a story that the elder told to me of back in the 1970s, before DNA was even a part of our vernacular, that she was continually abducted, And when she married and had children, she, along with her children, were taken.
Yes.
And she said, at one point, she said to them, why are you doing this to me? And they said, well, because your DNA is the closest to ours. Well, she didn't know what DNA was, and nobody knew what it was, but of course it wasn't openly spoken about. But she went over to her kitchen drawer and pulled out this pretty ragged notebook. And in the notebook, she had been keeping track of every year of significant events that happened. And she turned the page to 1974, and on that page she had written in small letters DNA and the word molecules, but she had spelled it M-A-U-L-E-C-U-L-E-S. And at that time, she didn't know what it meant. She asked others. No one knew. But, you know, and that was before, you know, DNA was a common word in our vocabulary.
So she had shared it before it was known here. All right. We also have a story of a soldier in Iraq who met an alien when he was in battle and in danger. I found that story very interesting. And he talked about the international highway for star travelers, the universal highway. Can you tell us something about that?
Well, that's the story of Tom. And I met him just a few years ago. I was on my way to Canada. I wanted to go to the Writing on the Stone Provincial Park across the border from Montana. And he was at a campsite, and I happened to just intrude on his campsite, and not aware that anyone was there. And he told me about the Universal Highway, and I had heard about portals in that area of Canada and Alberta, and that you could step across into another dimension, or you could follow a road, a universal road that would lead you to other worlds. And he told me about his experiences of doing that, but he said that one event he told me about was being in Iraq, that he had enlisted and had joined the army, and when they arrived in Iraq, there were rumors of Saddam Hussein being in a certain village, and so his unit was shipped out to see if they could find Saddam. And in the course, when they arrived there, it was almost like an ambush had been set up, and it was in a town, and so people were shooting at them from rooftops and behind buildings, and he was looking for safety, and he stumbled into this abandoned building, and all of a sudden this whirlwind of sand just engulfed him, and this long tunnel opened up. And he walked down this tunnel, and there he met a starman,
mm-hmm.
He was in a cavern that was so large, he said, that this huge spacecraft was inside it,
mm-hmm.
and they told him they would take him to safety. And he told them that he couldn't leave, and they were interested and why he couldn't leave, and his loyalty to his comrades, and told him that if he wanted to go, to think about it, and if he wanted to go with them, that they would be back the next day, and that if he was there, they would take him away.
Right, I know. But he also asked him, why do they come here?
Well, and he talked about the traveler who came and traveled throughout Montana and the Dakotas and Wyoming, and visited reservations, and obviously, in another story, there is a story of the aliens who tell the man that the Earth was once their home.
Yes.
That they come back to visit.
That is interesting, because you know what? I'm sure there are groups of aliens that live where there's no war, there's no violence, there's no disease, and there is a more compassionate way, and they're trying to probably understand how to help us evolve and go past what we have going on the planet right now. I would think.
I agree.
They would want to do that. I want to go on to something else. Some of the people who have been abducted say that they are missing time, and they're not aware of what happened. There's one story you tell about Enrique, a hotel worker, who arrived 4 hours late to work, and he had no idea what had happened during that time. So how do you think they're able to do this? They must have special qualities, some of these aliens, special gifts, certain spiritual gifts or ability to work with the mind. So can you tell us?
Well, I think they have the ability of total, mind control. Mm-hmm. There are several different witnesses who told me that they have an ability to get inside your mind and to tell you that you will never forget. But they also say that 20% of the people, they've never been able to control their minds. So that but they tell them, if you remember this, no one's going to believe you anyway.
Now, you tell the story of a Mayan elder who looked much younger than the 80 years he claimed to be, and he described the Shining people, and they want to help us so we can have greater health, live longer, conquer diseases. Can you tell us something about that?
Well, I met him actually in the jungle. He was seated at a part of the jungle. It was an ancient site off the track of the tourist. It had not been developed or excavated, and he was sitting in front of this facade of a monument or pyramid, and the hands were on superimposed on this facade, just human-like hands. And I sat down beside him and began talking to him, and he told me about the Shining people that visited Earth, and that they went around the world collecting information and knowledge so that it would never be lost, and these individuals did have all the knowledge and all the power of the universe, and that they can make great changes in the lives of people, but the time just hadn't come yet.
Yeah, they told us that our scientists have the knowledge to cure many diseases, but we haven't used it yet. They're trying to help us evolve and move along, and they had long lifespans, like 800 years, and they could assume they were light people of energy, and they could assume human form and look like us. Very fascinating. And I've seen orbs. I have seen orbs. I have photographed orbs. I am aware of spirit when they are around me. It could be spirit or souls of loved ones that have lived on Earth, or it could be some of these beings, and I'm always very comforted when I feel this energy, because I feel it to be very loving and very powerful and very peaceful, and I have no fear. So I want our listeners to know they've probably also had experiences. They just push it away for whatever reason, because some of the movies we see, some of the literature we read, make it a little frightening, but it doesn't have to be that way. So, Artie, what would you like readers to take away with them after reading your books? How should people begin to think about the possibilities of meeting aliens or extraterrestrials and other life forms?
Well, I'd like to say to your listeners that there are many things happening in the universe that we don't know about or we don't understand. But one of the keys to understanding, I think, is to be aware of the world around you and the people around you and the people you meet every day, whether it's a brief encounter of someone who does a kindness for you, or a brief encounter with somebody, it can be nobody that you even give a second thought to, but they may indeed be someone that is placed here or has decided to make Earth their home. And I hope as they read the stories, they will keep an open mind and be open to the wondrous possibilities of the universe and the different experiences that people are having here on planet Earth. You know, we are so critical of our fellow man that the people who talk to me are people who have never told their stories. And I would suspect that 60% of the people in this country or 50% have had encounters, but simply do not talk about it because they're afraid of humiliation. So be open to others and open and read my books and you'll hear wonders. You'll read wondrous stories.
Well, I think, Audie, I think that's all happening. And I think we're all interconnected by energy and the divinity and the universal nature of life. And that's what you're talking about. And so am I on every show, actually. So I want to thank you, Dr. Audie Clark, author of Sky People, Encounters in Mesoamerica, and More Encounters with Star People in Urban America, and for other books that you've written, and for your dedicated efforts to travel to meet the indigenous people of our world in many exotic places, and to share fantastic accounts of encounters with UFOs, sky people, or aliens. And for more information and to purchase these insightful, interesting, and mind-expanding books of real people and real stories, go to Artie's email, which is artie@sixkiller.com or amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have attempted to reveal and remember that it is through the professional efforts of those who seek to combine science and spirituality with an open mind and who search for hidden or past events and proof that there is always more to learn about ourselves, the human condition, and life beyond this planet, which in its endless state of evolution and change has left the mark of ancient foreign alien civilizations on our modern-day Earth. And Audie wrote, regardless of our position about the UFO phenomenon, I believe our interest in UFO encounters lies in our desire to recover the vital information and wisdom lost through turning away from traditional ways of knowing, or our innate intuition. The premise that science in general assumes superiority of thought over the collective memory of humans, and this authority of truth, once given to traditional wisdom, was cast aside by the scientific community and regarded only as myth and legends. But today, if we listen to the stories of the indigenous people and others in all parts of the world, we may find an ancient framework for these experiences that make them neither bizarre nor shocking. There may be many wonderful discoveries we have yet to witness. And Artie and I would hope you are able to reach up to the universe in hopes of finding we are more than our physical bodies and actually born of the energy of universal source. There are worlds of knowledge and awareness for us to realize here in this life and all its magnificent potential. And wherever our origins begin, we seem to be part of the stars and an energy of creation. And the common denominator for us all is love, compassion, and unity. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen to scientists, educators, philosophers, spiritualists, medical practitioners, psychologists, and all kinds of metaphysical researchers who look for answers to age-old questions. Who are we? Where did we originate? And how can we make this world we live in the best place for discovering our inner wisdom and truth so we may all flourish? Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you for listening.